control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Jobs with Justice is releasing a report this month demonstrating how money wasted on multiple private insurance bureaucracies and to protect big company profits through subsidies could pay for providing health insurance to all Americans. The cost savings that could be realized by ending these practices could pay to cover all those who are without health insurance, according to the report. Overall, the cost of employee health insurance rose by 11.2% last year. Jobs with Justice is a national campaign creating coalitions to fight for worker rights. The group tries to unite labor, community, religious groups, and student organizations for political and social action on behalf of working families.
The government says an accounting error is to blame for overstated U.S.-funded job figures in Iraq. The State Department released figures in late September that show that projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development employ more than 30,000 less Iraqis than previously stated. Critics call it a ploy by the Bush administration, as increased employment in Iraq is one of the measures used to gauge if the war-torn country is moving towards stability. The Iraq Weekly Status Report at the end of September said 45,844 Iraqis were employed in such projects, a nearly 50% decrease from the figure of 88,436 reported in the middle of the month.
Even though nationally it's spending roughly $65 million in marshaling thousands of its members to defeat President Bush, the Service Employees International Union in Illinois is backing more than half the Republican incumbents seeking re-election to the Illinois State House. SEIU's Illinois Council President Thomas Balanoff says the SEIU is on one side, its members. SEIU is backing just one Republican state senator in Illinois.
More than 600 soldiers who were supposed to report for duty in Iraq or Afghanistan have requested more time, asked to be excused, or completely ignored the request. That number represents one-third of the individual ready response members asked to report for duty. Members of the IRR are individuals who were honorably discharged after finishing their active duty tours. It is rare for the military to call up members of the IRR. In a press conference last week, the Pentagon said as many as 3,800 IRR soldiers have been given a report date as late as March 2005. Nearly 1,500 of those have asked for a delay or exemption.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. At least one economic expert thinks the economic recovery touted by the federal government is collapsing. George Soros thinks despite a slight uptick recently, stocks will decline due to high fuel prices and stagnant worker wages that he says stifled economic growth. The S&P 500 is set to mark its first quarterly decline since March of 2003 when the U.S. attacked Iraq.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
So, Jasper, how was your year?
Excellent. This administration gives the best returns ever.
Do tell.
Well, the money I paid to a lobbying firm in Washington brought in over $50 million in overseas contracts.
Oh, yes, lobbying pays.
Are you still into commodities, Max?
No, I'm funding politicians. My campaign contributions got me over $100 million worth of regulation waivers.
Well done, Max.
Today's wisest investments are in politics. Where are you throwing your money?
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
Governor Jeb Bush is out to make his state of Florida the next Florida. In 2000, Jeb used such crude political tactics as illegally purging voter lists to help engineer his brother's 537-vote victory in that election. And now, here he goes again. As one peer of Florida's GOP establishment candidly puts it, a Democrat can't win a statewide election in Florida without a high turnout of African Americans. It's no secret that the name of the game for Republicans is to restrain that turnout as much as possible. The Orlando League of Voters can attest to that. This African-American civic group has played a big role in turning Orlando from a Republican stronghold into a city that increasingly votes Democratic. Their reward for getting involved in the Democratic process is to have Jeb Bush's state police suddenly come knocking on the doors of some 50 of the league's grassroots leaders. These leaders, mostly elderly black women, find it frightening to be confronted in their homes by armed troopers interrogating them about their electoral participation. They're not charged with any crime. Instead, police say they're investigating vague allegations that some voter fraud might have occurred in this spring's mayoral election. Yet Jeb's own state police honcho wrote in a May letter that, quote, there was no basis to support the allegations, and he declared this matter closed. But it has not closed. Police now say the chief's letter was poorly worded, and the intimidating in-home interrogations continued this summer as the presidential election heated up. Jeb's police action is creating a blanket of fear among the league's volunteers who worry that their perfectly legal efforts will land them in jail. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course Jeb says that there's no political motive involved, but when asked how long the Orlando investigation will go on, police say it might continue right through November 2nd.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making...
But there's no political motive involved, but when asked how long the Orlando investigation will go on, police say it might continue right through November 2nd.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO 47 AE.
It's really quite extraordinary. The Bush-Cheney bunch out there. John Kerry is going to subject us to a global test. Well, who was right about the global test? I mean, that's a legitimate question. Who was right, Thomas Jefferson or Adolf Hitler? What do you think? Adolf, in the right after his debate with John Kerry, well, actually, you know, during the debate, John Kerry made a comment about a global test, and Bush said, you know, I don't know what you're talking about with this global test. And now they've turned it, they've got this spot out, this TV ad. It's called Global Test. It's running in swing states. He said he'd attack terrorists who threaten America. But at the debate, John Kerry said America must pass a global test before we protect ourselves. The Kerry doctrine, a global test. So we must seek permission from foreign governments before protecting America. Honestly, this is what they're saying. This scurrilous lie is what they are saying. Now let's just lay it out. What was really going on? First of all, here's the spin began. George W. giving a speech the day after the debate. It was Friday. He said, One other point I want to make about the debate last night. Senator Kerry last night said that America has to pass some sort of global test before we can use American troops to defend ourselves. He wants our national security decisions subject to the approval of a foreign government. And all, everybody starts booing. And he says, listen, I'll continue to work with our allies, the international community, but I will never submit America's national security to an international test. The use of troops to defend America must never be subject to a veto by countries like France. He finished it up by saying, the president's job is not to take an international poll. I'm telling you, the cons are all over this thing like white on rice. I mean, it's a, this is this was... you know, Lush Bimbo and all the other all the other right wing talk commentators are out there going, well, this is a this is that Kitty Dukakis moment. You know, when Michael Dukakis was asked, you know, if Kitty was murdered and raped, would you, you know, it was to follow up on the Willie Horton ads, or it set him up actually. Well, what did John Kerry actually say? I think I would bet you right now that the vast majority of Americans have forgotten by this point in time, I mean, you know, memories are short, what John Kerry actually said. Just like many of us have forgotten that the first Gore-Bush debate in the day after, the first 2 days after the first Bush-Gore debate, everybody in the media, I mean, there's a broad consensus that Gore had won the debate, and by the fourth day, the story was that Bush had won the debate. Why? Because Bush had been so effective at spinning this thing, the spin machine. And that's what they're trying to do again. That's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to say, and in fact, in the second hour of our program, we're going to have a Republican pollster on who's going to try and tell us the same thing. Right? Oh, actually, yeah, George Bush did pretty good on this thing. You know, he's you just wait. But anyhow, here's the question. Jim Lehrer turned to John Kerry, and he said, Mr. Kerry, Senator Kerry, what is your position on the whole concept of preemptive war? And Kerry answered, the president always has the right and always has had the right for preemptive strike. That was a great doctrine throughout the Cold War, and it was always one of the things we argued about with respect to arms control. No president throughout all of human history, American history, has ever ceded. So this is the problem. He uses words that perhaps the average Republican doesn't understand. C-E-D-E-D. It means give up. No president through all of American history has ever ceded, and nor would I, the right to preempt in any way necessary to protect the United States of America. But if and when you do it, Jim, you have to do it in a way that passes the test, that passes the global test, where your countrymen, your people, understand fully why you're doing what you're doing, and you can prove to the world that you did it for legitimate reasons. Now, clearly, Bush misunderstood immediately when he said, you know, what's this global test? I don't know what you're talking about. Because Kerry is using the term, the phrase here, in the context of, if I say something like, you know, if you consider education in the global sense, it's a way of saying not all the way around the world, but looking at the entire issue. Perhaps not the very best choice of war, but nonetheless, choice of words, excuse me. But even in the context of saying we want the world to understand what we're doing, John Kerry was simply echoing a doctrine first laid out by Thomas Jefferson in 1776 that has been followed by every president since. Where your countrymen, your people, fully understand why you're doing what you're doing, and you can prove to the world that you did it for legitimate reasons. George Bush and Adolf Hitler are the only two major leaders of industrial powers in the last 100 years that I can think of. Maybe you can think of another. Feel free. Call us. 1-866-889-8894. Who have had the audacity to say, no, we can just do whatever we want, and if the rest of the world thinks that we're wrong, tough. And if our own people think that it's wrong, we'll just put them in concentration camps. We'll create free speech zones for them. Jefferson laid this out in the Declaration of Independence. The first sentence of the Declaration of Independence says that a decent respect to the opinions of mankind, sounds kind of global, doesn't it, requires that they, this being we, the colonists, should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, and then, you know, he goes on through the, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, blah, 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 blah. And then he gets to his list, his bill of particulars against King George III, the list of things that this guy has done wrong since his father died, King George II, in 1760, and he became King George III, the third George to rule England. It's interesting, George W. Bush is the third George to rule America. Anyhow, just before he got to the Bill of Particulars, Jefferson again says in the Declaration of Independence, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. I would guess, I'm guessing you would agree that that Thomas Jefferson passed the global test. On June 19, 1812, President James Madison laid out to his countrymen and the world his, what he referred to as his four major reasons for declaring the War of 1812. On July 7, 1863, Abraham Lincoln, for maybe the 100th time, said, now we have a gigantic rebellion at the bottom of which is an effort to overthrow the principle that all men are created equal. Justifying his war. Woodrow Wilson, on April 2, 1917, calls together Congress, asks for a resolution of war for the United States to participate in World War I, and then says, while we do these things, these deeply momentous things, let us be very clear and make very clear to all the world what our motives and our objectives are. Franklin Roosevelt's request to Congress for a declaration of war on December 11, 1941 needed only to remind America and the world that we were not the aggressors. Roosevelt said, and I quote, on the morning of December 11th, the government of Germany, pursuing its course of world conquest, declared war against the United States, and Italy has also declared war against the United States. Sounds like a pretty rational explanation to me. So why would the Bush administration be so freaked out about Kerry suggesting that we have to make clear to our own citizens and to the world why we are participating in a process which has so far led to the deaths of some 30 to 40,000 human beings and the maiming and wounding of at least 25,000 Americans, according to our own citizens and to the world, why we are participating in a process which has so far led to the deaths of some 30 to 40,000 human beings and the maiming and wounding of at least 25,000 Americans, according to Defense Department statistics, and God only knows how many Iraqis, perhaps millions, when you include psychological wounds. Why would the Bush administration be so spooked about this? Well, John Dean, the former counsel to Richard Nixon, one of the nation's most esteemed lawyers, well-respected attorneys, John Dean has a suggestion that I think makes a lot of sense. He doesn't say this is why they're going off on this particular ad campaign. I think it's, you know, obviously because they think that the existence of the state This was possible, he said, because at least a third of the masses of our people, whose sheepish docility corresponds to their want of intelligence, just submit to it because they are too stupid to understand, end quote. So it could be the Republicans just figure, like Hitler did, and we can get away with it because people are stupid. I disagree with them, by the way. But there's a lot of folks who apparently agree that that may, you know, and thus they do the big lie. But I think John Dean's suggestion makes more sense. And that is that there is a global test, that the Congress explicitly laid it out in the resolution authorizing the use of force in Iraq. Specifically laid it out. Said you must answer these two questions. That George Bush answered those two questions, that he lied in the answers, and in so doing committed a high crime and misdemeanor, a felony worthy of impeachment or worse. And they're trying to keep that from the discussion. I'll share that with you right after this.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270. These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we... Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world, and what we can do before it's too late is Tom Hartman's stunning wake-up call to humanity.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The last last hours of ancient sunlight, the fate of the world and what we can do before it's too late is Tom Hartman's stunning wake-up call to humanity. Conversations with God author Neil Donald Walsh says this about the book.
Quote it everywhere. Buy 10 books and give them away. Don't let this...
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
This is tragic. 24 minutes past the hour. I can't play that any longer. It is so infuriating and so sad to think that so many people are dying for what? You know, it worked for Lincoln, that it would work again. And so the voiceover in this new Bush ad continues. A global test? So Americans will be forced to wait while threats gather? President Bush believes decisions about protecting America should be made in the Oval Office, not foreign capitals. Well, gee, so does John Kerry. So does every American. How can anybody sit in their living room and watch these Republican ads and not think, these people think I'm stupid? The resolution which John Kerry voted for, which authorized the president to use force in Iraq, said that the president can only use force in Iraq if, and I am quoting now from this law, it's now called Public Law 107-243, it's the Use of Military Force Against Iraq Resolution of 2002, may only use force if he notifies the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the President pro tem of the Senate his determination that, one, reliance by the United States on further diplomatic or other peaceful means either alone, A, will not adequately protect the national security of the United States against the continuing threat posed by Iraq, or B, is not likely to lead to enforcement of all relevant United Nations Security Council resolutions regarding Iraq, and, two, acting pursuant to this resolution is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001. In other words, Bush has to say in writing to the Speaker of the to Congress, to the House and Senate, before he can use force in Iraq, that number one, we have exhausted all diplomatic options, and we have demonstrated that there is a clear and continuing threat to the United States from Iraq, number one. And number two, we can prove that Iraq had something to do with 9/11 and continue diplomatic options, and we have demonstrated that there is a clear and continuing threat to the United States from Iraq. Number one. And number two, we can prove that Iraq had something to do with 9/11 and continues to participate in supporting terrorism of that sort. And in fact, George W. wrote a letter to the House and Senate saying just that. I'm quoting from his letter. It was written on March 18, 2003. Consistent with Section 3B of the Authorization for Military blah, 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 and based on information available to me, I determined that, this is the words of George W., one, reliance by the United States on further diplomatic and other peaceful means alone will neither, A, adequately protect the national security of the United States against the continuing threat to the United States posed by Iraq, nor, B, likely lead to enforcement of all relevant United Nations Security Council resolutions regarding Iraq, which, by the way, were being enforced at that time. And
productive and prosperous lives. Well, that world is within our grasp, and there's a way to reach it. It's called Economics. And to learn more, just pull up DennisWeaverNow.com and learn how to get a free report of our Economics educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
pop and not so pop.
Educational program and how together we can build a world of prosperity without pollution. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com. DennisWeaverNow.com.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Jobs with Justice is releasing a report this month demonstrating how money wasted on multiple private insurance bureaucracies and to protect big company profits through subsidies could pay for providing health insurance to all Americans. The cost savings that could be realized by ending these practices could pay to cover all those who are without health insurance, according to the report. Overall, the cost of employee health insurance rose by 11.2% last year. Jobs with Justice is a national campaign creating coalitions to fight for worker rights. The group tries to unite labor, community, religious groups, and student organizations for political and social action on behalf.
Percent decrease from the figure of 88,436 reported in the middle of the month.
Even though nationally it's spending roughly $65 million in marshaling thousands of its members to defeat President Bush, the Service Employees International Union in Illinois is backing more than half the Republican incumbents seeking re-election to the Illinois State House. SEIU's Illinois Council President Thomas Balanoff says the SEIU is on one side, its members. SEIU is backing just one Republican state senator in Illinois.
More than 600 soldiers who were supposed to report for duty in Iraq or Afghanistan have requested more time, asked to be excused, or completely ignored the request. That number represents one-third of the individual ready response members asked to report for duty. Members of the IRR are individuals who were honorably discharged after finishing their active duty tours. It is rare for the military to call up members of the IRR. In a press conference last week, the Pentagon said as many as 3,800 IRR soldiers have been given a report date as late as March 2005. Nearly 1,500 of those have asked for a delay or exemption.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. At least one economic expert thinks the economic recovery touted by the federal government is collapsing. George Soros thinks despite a slight uptick recently, stocks will decline due to high fuel prices and stagnant worker wages that he says stifled economic growth. The S&P 500 is set to mark its first quarterly decline since March of 2003 when the U.S. attacked Iraq.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. 27 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. A lot of correspondence, a lot of discussion on the bulletin board, on our message board. You go to TomHartman.com. You can, number one, get into our live chat room, which is in session. You can drop in and say a few words to the folks there and listen in on one of the most interesting, erudite, thoughtful, intelligent, insightful conversations on the entire Internet. You can also go to the message board, where, you know, permanent messages, there's some 30,000 messages there now. And a lot of interesting comments. One woman who asked to be unnamed pointed out, if you start noticing this in the little video clips where you see Bush and Kerry side by side from the debate, she says, Bush's microphone was only 3 inches long, Kerry's was 9 inches long, Kerry's got my vote. I'm not, you know, going to add anything to that. We'll just leave that. At another point, another correspondent writes, the president, when John Kerry was talking about the allies, the president said, "You forgot about Poland." And he responds, Poland said it was, quote, considering an early pullout of many of the 2,500 Polish troops in Iraq after the Polish president said his country was, quote, deceived about the weapons of mass destruction and taken for a ride, end quote, in the push for war. Remember that? This is just like a month ago. President of Poland, we were deceived. Bush saying, well, this is our good, these are our allies, they're important. Scary stuff. But is Bush trying to avoid prosecution for war crimes or for high crimes and misdemeanors against the people of the United States for failing to pass the rational test of explaining to his own people why he would put their troops in harm's way? 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Let's take a couple calls here. Chuck in Los Alamos, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Well, I got an answer to your question, who besides Bush and Adolf Hitler? And the answer is Tojo. He basically went to war against China and invaded the South Pacific Islands in what he basically claimed to his people was the Southern Resource Zone.
Yeah, but Tojo had the support of his people by and large, and the emperor was goading him on, and they were also, we had cut off their oil supply.
True.
And so he was, you know, he was spinning that as a defensive war, or at least the attack against the United States. I mean,
that was exactly my point. He was spinning it as a preemptive strike.
Yeah.
So it just seemed to me that, again, it's another classic example of fascism.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Good point, Chuck. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Dave in California on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm just kind of curious about where Kerry gets off on saying that we need to have coalitions regarding Iraq, but yet we should single-handedly go after North Korea. That's hypocritical of what he says.
When did he say that?
At the debate. He said that we should have bilateral talks with North Korea. That's singular. That's America and North Korea. But yet he wants coalitions for Iraq and all this other stuff. That's hypocritical.
I'm sitting here boggled, Dave. I mean, do you really believe this stuff, or are you a shill for the RNC?
No, I'm not a shill for the
I mean, RNC. do you really believe what you just said, that saying that discussing something with another country, and by the way, China has requested that we have bilateral talks with Korea. All of the six nations, every single one of them, have explicitly asked us to have bilateral talks with North Korea. That having talks with another country is somehow the same thing as attacking another country?
I don't think that we attacked Iraq.
Dave, did you graduate from the third grade?
Yeah, I did, pal.
We didn't attack Iraq?
No. Basically, what we did is we went in there. It is a self-defense thing, okay?
I see. When did Iraq attack us?
When did Iraq attack us? 9/11?
On 9/11, yeah, okay.
I'm firmly convinced, okay?
Okay, Dave, you are toast. I should have left him on. Dave, call back. I'll put you back on the air. I'll let you make more of a fool of yourself if you want. The 9/11 Commission. The Republican, Thomas Keene, the chairman of the 9/11 Commission, says, you know, there's no connection between Saddam Hussein and Iraq. In fact, I mean, if you really want to get down to it, if you really want to get right down to it, George W. himself has said there is no connection between 9/11 and Iraq. I mean, just, you know, very straightforward. Let me find it here. I've got this. Here we go.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Yeah. We have no evidence that Saddam Hussein. Dave, listen very carefully. This is your president speaking.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th. Yeah.
No evidence. And that's still the administration's position, by the way. Colin Powell reaffirmed it on TV just 2 weekends ago, weekend before last. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Continuing our correspondence, the Iranian government. I mean, this is where it gets really, really scary, really spooky. The Iranian government was watching. I mean, if you think that the leaders of other countries were not watching these debates, you're in outer space. Okay, the Iranian government was watching, and here is the most, as Kanan in New York City notes, one of the most feeble, nonsensical, and incoherent performances by an American president in history. He's talking about our strategy with regard to Iran. That's the country that probably does have nukes or is close to it. That's another one of those oil-rich countries over there. Yeah. Maybe Bush mixed up the N and the Q and invaded the wrong country. I don't know. Whatever. Anyhow, he says, we have a good strategy. I hope it works. Now, if you were one of the leaders of Iran and you heard that, you'd be thinking, okay, well, you know, his strategy appears to be mostly just the sanctions. But, you know, there's certainly, well, so then he says, Bush says, we already put on sanctions. We can't put on any more sanctions. Say what?
There's no more we can do. There's
foreign ministers are carrying the message to the mullahs. What? I doubt the mullahs were impressed. You know, his squinting, drawling, banging on the podium. As Kanan notes, they think Bush is easily outmaneuvered. Post 9/11, he says, I fear Iranian nukes more than I would fear Soviet missiles in Cuba. When the Iranian crisis comes to a head, Bush will bungle it just like he bungled Iraq. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Dave in New Jersey on the line. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Tom. Enjoying your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What's up?
I just listening to your show with my wife in the car, and I just wanted to point out something to you. That misguided fellow that you jokingly called what are you, a shill for the RNC? I was enjoying the call because I think that man's point of view, sadly, is representative of a good portion of the electorate that's getting fooled by these big lies and sound bites.
I agree with you, which is why I should have left him on the phone. I shouldn't have dumped him.
Yeah, because I think because that guy is so impressionable, and a lot of people like him are so impressionable, and this isn't an insult at their intelligence at all. I just think because we're a soundbite society, that's why the strategy, like the big lie, and all the way back to Hitler's times, that's why that strategy works. Sadly,
and, sure. I mean, the bottom line is that advertising works. If it didn't, Procter & Gamble wouldn't spend billions of dollars on it every year. You know.
Exactly. They had one of the retired generals on one of the Sunday morning TV shows. I think it was Meet the Press. I'm not sure though. And they ran that soundbite from the debate about what are you going to do? Get a consensus? You have to get a consensus of the world before you before America does anything.
Yeah.
And this general who actually endorses John Kerry. Was very well prepared for the answer. He said, well, I brought the transcript of the debate with me, and this is exactly what Mr. Kerry's complete answer was, and it just completely snuffed out the issue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. The Republicans now are spending tens of millions of dollars on a 30-second advertisement that they're placing in all these swing states that lies about this. I mean, it just comes right out and lies about it.
It's outright propaganda, and they have to... I think the Democratic Party, starting with tomorrow night, John Kerry just has to keep harping on what the truth is. Take an incomplete answer, turn it around, and make it a complete answer. You know, when they use a soundbite of it, take an incomplete soundbite, just say, no. Mr. Edwards is a master at that because he's a trial lawyer, and I expect him tomorrow against Mr. Cheney to... take those incomplete answers and, with all due respect to his opponent, complete the answers so that the public knows what the truth is.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, one of my concerns is that Gwen Ifill, who's going to be moderating that debate, is a person who has a long history of sucking up to power. She always defers to powerful people, and it's a little scary, actually. I've got some quotes from her here that I was going to share a little later on the program. In fact, on her program on the McNeil Lehrer Hour, at one point went off on this long rant about how, you know, essentially, how dare Michael Moore go to other nations and criticize our president. You know, her politics are pretty clear, and she's going to be deferring to Cheney big time. And
yeah,
so, you know, we're going to keep her. He's going to have to keep her feet to the fire too.
I think you can anticipate. Cheney being allowed the 30-second and 1-minute follow-ups whenever Mr. Edwards gets a good answer in that makes sense and argues facts and not rhetoric. You could expect Cheney to be getting 30-45-second additional time to do whatever he wants to twist it around. But hopefully they're going to underestimate Edwards. He's an unbelievably bright man, and he's very good on his feet, and hopefully the public will start to see what the truth of the matter is.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, as we're seeing right now, Dave, it's not necessarily the truth of the matter. It's if there is a word or phrase that can be taken out of context, twisted around, have a lie wrapped around it, and turned into a 30-second Republican commercial, they will do it. And it's almost as if the debates themselves don't matter. It's whether they can slice and dice some little nugget out of them and turn it into an attack piece and throw it back so that a month later, 2 months later, people don't remember the debate. They remember, you know, the spin of the debate. And the Republicans now are trying to spin this thing that Kerry said that we have to pass some sort of global test, which is nonsense. Kerry never said that. He was talking about the smell test, essentially. You know, that your people have to support you. The world has to understand what you're doing if you're going to go out and kill people. I mean, this is a basic law of civilization, you know, much less warfare. Anyhow, Dave, I'm going to move along. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Tom in, I'm not sure where he is here, he notes, the president tonight, this an email that was posted right after the, or right during the debate, says he believed on the Dien Bien Phu strategy. Well, let me get back to that in just a second. We got a caller here, Tom, a truck driver on the road on line three here. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Okay, hey, this is the first time I've heard your show, and I really like it. I think that... I used to listen to Al Franken, and I think he's a little too moderate for my taste. But anyway, my brother and I, my brother's a Republican, I'm a Democrat, we're both Christian. And when, after the invasion occurred, he had said, or I had asked him, I think that we should have waited, or I told him, I think we should have waited and let the inspectors do their job. There's no proof of the weapons of mass destruction. There's absolutely no connection between Iraq, Saddam Hussein, and the 9/11 attack. He got so angry, he was screaming on the phone at me, saying that the proof is that we are there. And I think that that's pretty indicative of how the far right thinks.
Yeah, and it's tragic because the position you were taking was the position that was taken by every other member of the Security Council in the United Nations. And now you've got the cons running around spinning even that. I mean, they go on these TV talk shows and they say, well, every other world leader thought he had weapons of mass destruction. And nobody contradicts him and says, no, I'm sorry, all the other world leaders thought he probably didn't, because he did not. Because Hans Blix and Mohammed al-Baradei were saying, you know, it looks like he doesn't have anything here.
Yeah, exactly. And my point with my brother, he wouldn't talk to me for several months after that. And we hardly talk anymore now because he saw that I was right. And I, you know, I love him very much. And I wish he would be able to come down off of his pedestal that the far Christian right puts themselves upon.
Well, the thing to keep in mind, Tom, is that you know, all of us, right, left, middle, Republican, conservative, liberal, Democrat, whatever, we all love this nation and all want what's best for it, and I'm sure your brother does too. It's
right.
Just a matter of, you know, being well informed versus listening to the spin, in my opinion.
I agree, and I certainly appreciate you taking my call.
Okay.
Enjoy your show, and good luck to you, and hope you keep on strong.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, and keep on listening. I do appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894. Ryan in Ohio is on the line. Hey, Ryan, we've got about a minute left. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I just got a question for you. Do you think Bush is trying to use religion as the way to maybe psych up his votes a little bit?
Oh, yeah. They have been from day one working on this. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's an open part of their campaign strategy. And in fact, yes. And the same as, here's a great quote for you. No,
okay.
I don't have it. I'll do it at right. Oh, here it is. Here, the same as. Here's a quote. I can thank God at this moment that he has so wonderfully blessed us in our hard struggle for what is right. Who said that? Adolf Hitler, October 6, 1939. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month per second in each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call
me. Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
Critics say that when we consolidate the media into fewer and fewer hands, it threatens diversity. Nothing could be further from the truth. Every demographic has different consuming habits. With 500 channels, we'll have one shopping network for Elvis memorabilia and another for the dogs playing poker crowd. Something for everyone. In this spirit, we billionaires are buying up the airwaves. If you're on a road trip from Kennebunkport to Crawford, you can tune into Rush the whole trip down. Just think, the same country and soft rock stations everywhere you go. And what we leave off the dial, you're better off without, really. Aren't you glad someone's protecting you from polka music? You're welcome. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Here come the billionaires!
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Do you have a dust mask? Well, if you use a bagless vacuum and you're sensitive to dust, a leading consumer magazine products testing magazine warns you should wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL risk-free for 30 days. It uses triple-walled disposable filter bags. Try emptying a bagless vacuum and see what happens. Dust gets all over your hands and face and back into the room and on the kitchen counter. And you get to breathe it in? I believe a vacuum should capture the dust, not your lungs. That's why with my Auric XL, the filter bags are self-sealing. What goes in the bag stays in the bag, even when you empty it. So try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Then if you still want a bagless vacuum, I'll send you a dust mask to wear.
Scientists say the Arctic is warming faster than any other place on Earth. The locals are noticing the change. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Water cooler conversation always includes the weather, but in Alaska these days, the subject gets more attention than usual.
We've been having a summer which is just extraordinary. It has been so hot and so dry, it's been record-breaking.
That's Charles Woolforth, a lifelong resident of Alaska and author of a new book, The Whale and the Supercomputer. Woolforth says the North's changing weather is obvious all year in his hometown of Anchorage. Earlier springs, hotter summers, and milder winters, including a record-setter 2 years ago. But Woolforth says the transition becomes more apparent in the colder parts of the state, and he says Alaska's Native people are most affected.
Going farther north into the Arctic, the changes become much more extreme and pronounced, and the people are much more closely connected with the land, and so they have a very deep perception of what's happening. And their changes include extreme thinning and reduction in sea ice, warming of permafrost so that the frozen ground is less reliable and in some areas is thawed completely.
Woolforth says that thawing even affects the course of rivers and vegetation on the tundra. He says the North's changing climate is disrupting the native Inupiat way of life, which includes subsistence whale hunting on the ice.
The whole complex of very major changes that are all interrelated and interlinked, and it's almost disorienting for people to live in a world where nature is changing so fast.
That's Charles Woolforth, author of The Whale and the Supercomputer. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Matamor, Apollo, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amherst.
And everywhere is where you can hear this program. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, streaming around the planet on radiopower.org with archives at White Rose Society and TomHartman.com. We're going to be updating them big time this weekend. And you can drop into our chat room from TomHartman.com, or you can visit our message board, or both. Is there a global test? Does history have a global test? Did Hitler fail it? Is Bush failing it? Is it appropriate for the president of a nation, for the leader of a nation, to explain to his people why he's going to kill people before he does it? This is, one of the classical questions. I think it's an important question. A new faux ad out. This is we got to lighten this thing up here. It's a new ad.
George W. Bush claims to be a war president. So where was George W. Bush during the Vietnam War?
Heck yeah, I remember, party boy.
George W. Bush was a horrible pilot, but he sure knew how to get high.
One time I was back at the barracks, and I had 6 beers, and he had 12.
That's how he got the name W. Whenever you drink, eat W.
Ernie was checking the helicopter blades, and old W, he just started her up without looking, and
that was the end of Ernie.
Ernie is from a long way off now.
I remember the commanding officer played a trick on him. He said we'd all been called up to go to Cambodia, and then
George W. Bush peed his pants. His daddy had to come pick him up.
So we's all laughing at him, and he gets mad. He says, one day I'm going to be president. So we all commenced to shout, 4 more beers! 4 more beers!
Now, I took roll call for a year, and I never saw George W. Bush.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve of the Vietnam War, since I didn't have to go. Oh, and by the way, that also goes for Iraq.
So does a president who is going to send other people's children off to die have an obligation to respond? Chris in Tennessee on the line. Hey, Chris, what's up? We got about just a few seconds left here. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Trying to change the subject a little bit, but when it comes to the tax increases that you're going to have under Kerry,
tax increases? Chris, I would suggest that we've had no tax decreases under Bush. We've simply had tax deferrals. Our children are going to be paying our taxes instead of us.
See, and that's a point I would like to make. Because, I voted for Clinton. I do lean more right than left. I didn't vote him for the first time.
Chris, this is a great discussion. I'd love to have it, but we're out of time. Feel free to call back. We'll be on for the next 3 hours. But this is the end of this hour, so I got to move along. I do appreciate your call, though. I'm sorry we couldn't. It wasn't the sort of thing that we could handle in 10 seconds. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Program Your Light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Jobs with Justice is releasing a report this month demonstrating how money wasted on multiple private insurance bureaucracies and to protect big company profits through subsidies could pay for providing health insurance to all Americans. The cost savings that could be realized by ending these practices could pay to cover all those who are without health insurance, according to the report. Overall, the cost of employee health insurance rose by 11.2% last year. Jobs with Justice is a national campaign creating coalitions to fight for worker rights. The group tries to unite labor, community, religious groups, and student organizations for political and social action on behalf of working families.
The government says an accounting error is to blame for overstated U.S.-funded job figures in Iraq. The State Department released figures in late September that show that projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development employ more than 30,000 less Iraqis than previously stated. Critics called a ploy by the Bush administration, as increased employment in Iraq is one of the measures used to gauge if the war-torn country is moving towards stability. The Iraq Weekly Status Report at the end of September said 45,844 Iraqis were employed in such projects, a nearly 50% decrease from the figure of 88,436 reported in the middle of the month.
Even though nationally it's spending roughly $65 million in marshaling thousands of its members to defeat President Bush, the Service Employees International Union in Illinois is backing more than half the Republican incumbents seeking re-election to the Illinois State House. SEIU's Illinois Council President Thomas Balanoff says the SEIU is on one side, its members. SEIU is backing just one Republican state senator in Illinois.
More than 600 soldiers who were supposed to report for duty in Iraq or Afghanistan have requested more time, asked to be excused, or completely ignored the request. That number represents one-third of the individual ready response members asked to report for duty. Members of the IRR are individuals who were honorably discharged after finishing their active duty tours. It is rare for the military to call up members of the IRR. In a press conference last week, the Pentagon said as many as 3,800 IRR soldiers have been given a report date as late as March 2005. Nearly 1,500 of those have asked for a delay or exemption.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. At least one economic expert thinks the economic recovery touted by the federal government is collapsing. George Soros thinks despite a slight uptick recently, stocks will decline due to high fuel prices and stagnant worker wages that he says stifle economic growth. The S&P 500 is set to mark its first quarterly decline since March of 2003 when the U.S. attacked Iraq.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
So, Jasper, how was your year?
Excellent. This administration gives the best returns ever.
Do tell.
Well, the money I paid to a lobbying firm in Washington brought in over $50 million in overseas contracts.
Oh, yes, lobbying pays.
Are you still into commodities, Max?
No, I'm funding politicians. My campaign contributions got me over $100 million worth of regulation waivers.
Well done, Max.
Today's wisest investments are in politics. Where are you throwing your money?
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
Thank you, Nicole and Jeff Rank, for standing your ground and standing up for all of us. This young couple from Charleston, West Virginia, was arrested on the state capitol grounds during a July 4th appearance by George W. They had come to see the press in person, but also to make a quiet statement of their own. They wore hand-painted T-shirts with the international no symbol slashed across Bush's name. That was it. They didn't shout, heckle, or disrupt anything. They simply wore T-shirts. But as they stood there peacefully, two Secret Service agents accosted them, demanding that their T-shirts be removed or covered. No, they quietly said. So the agents instructed local police to arrest them. They were handcuffed, jailed, and charged with trespassing. Nicole, who worked for a federal agency, was subsequently dismissed from her job. But the Ranks, who had never before engaged in protest, fought the ridiculous trespassing charge, and now a local judge has thrown it out of court. Also, Charleston's embarrassed city council has publicly apologized for violating the Ranks' First Amendment rights, noting that city police only acted because they were directed to do so by the Secret Service. And the federal agency backed down and rehired Nicole. Now, Nicole and Jeff are trying to stop the Bushites from stomping on other people's right to protest, as has been happening at Bush events all across the country. With the ACLU, the Ranks have filed a federal lawsuit against both the White House and Secret Service, seeking a court order declaring such repressive political actions unconstitutional. Jeff, a registered Republican, says simply, unless common citizens like ourselves are willing to stand and fight for their civil liberties, those very liberties that our nation was founded upon, ideals of freedom that keep us strong today, will wither and erode until they are gone forever. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks to the ranks for standing so tall.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you. The Dien Bien Phu strategy. This was interesting. Tom... One of our correspondents. By the way, greetings. Welcome back to the program. Tom Hartman here with you. Our number 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to be on the program. The website, tomhartman.com. T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's, but however you spell it, you should be able to get there. The Dien Bien Phu strategy. The George Bush essentially was laying this out. The Dien Bien Phu strategy was something that Richard Nixon laid out. With regard to the Vietnam, or actually, the French laid out in 1954. And what they said was, we're going to create a place where the enemy's going to come to attack us so that we can then lay waste to them. You know, George Bush keeps saying, we're attacking the terrorists in Iraq so that we don't have to fight them here. And since there weren't any terrorists in Iraq before we first went in there, or maybe there was one guy, right? So functionally, there weren't terrorists there, but they're pouring over the borders now to, quote, Alawi, the president of Iraq, or the prime minister, or whatever his title is these days, the official U.S. toady. So the strategy is the same as the French used at Dien Bien Phu in 1954, saying that they were going to draw the Viet Minh into a final battle. I'm probably most of you are too young to remember this. I am. I was only 3 years old in 1954. But, the history is pretty well documented. The French, in fact, suffered a decisive defeat. It's a strategy that doesn't work. You don't go into somebody else's country and then, you know, declare that this is going to be the decisive battle here in this particular city. And thus is, you know, going to pacify everything and everybody on the theory that it's going to draw all the enemy into that one place so that you can fight them. That doesn't work. Doesn't work. And yet this is, you know, and as Tom notes, now in Iraq, U.S. forces are anchored in one central position, providing easy targets for incoming terrorists, most likely the president, this one central position, of course, being Iraq, most likely the president, who does not demonstrate any great grasp of history, is unaware of this analogy.
That's not
okay, great. 1-866-889-8894. Let's pick up a couple of calls here. Billy in Santa Cruz, California is on the line. Hey, Billy, what's up?
Hey, guy. I heard the news a minute ago, and the news went like this. President Bush objects to stem cell research on moral grounds. Well, that's a big lie. You know, when you say on moral grounds, moral is good, immoral is bad. He objects on religious grounds, on grounds of his own personal superstition, but there's nothing moral about his stand.
Well, actually, I can't even believe that he objects on religious grounds. I say he objects on sucking up to the power centers and the religious right grounds, because, I mean, what they're talking about doing with stem cell research is taking the fertilized eggs that are left over in a petri dish from in vitro fertilization, where they fertilize them outside a body and then take one, you know, they fertilize hundreds or thousands of them and then pick out the one that looks the most, or the two or three that look the most viable, and implant them in a woman's womb so that she can then, you know, go on to have a full-term pregnancy.
And what happens with the rest of those eggs later?
The rest of those eggs routinely get thrown away. And so if Bush is absolutely...
That's what you're supposed to do with eggs. Throw them away. Make sure they don't do anyone who's sick any good whatsoever.
But see, that's the point. If Bush really objected to stem cell research on moral grounds, then he would be objecting to in vitro fertilization as
Unless,
well.
Unless, of course, he's as stupid as that guy you had on before.
No, he's not. He's just a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. He is sucking up to the, you know, what the right. There's an element within the right, a religious element within the right that has you know, boiled this thing down to a soundbite, and you know it's a coming, I think, off the anti-abortion extremists.
Of course,
and
it's the same thinking from 2,000 years ago.
And it really, and it goes far beyond anti-abortion. It's really the people who are against birth control.
Of course it is. I mean, there's not any question about it. Yeah. I want to look at one other thing quickly.
Sure.
And that is, let's turn it around and just for a minute, imagine if the Iraqis were here in America, trying to share with us the beauty of the Islamic State, like we want to share with them democracy.
Right.
So, first of all, if I fought against them trying to turn me into an Islamist, you know, whether I wanted to or not, wouldn't I be a patriot?
You would, you know, locally. Now they would view you as a terrorist.
Yeah. Exactly.
Come on, Bill. You know, we've been here before. I mean, you know,
yeah,
everybody
exactly.
knows this movie, I think.
Haven't we seen this movie before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All over the world. And
and the last thing is this.
Sure.
You know, watching the debates
yeah.
and thinking about our CEO class,
yeah.
they take no risks whatsoever. You know, the way they made those rules, you would expect that the President of the United States should be, from the hardest combat, have to get there, proving he's the best man in America, if not the world. But what happened is Bush made all these faces because he was so uncomfortable when he asked tough questions. And what that tells us is no one's been asking him tough questions. He didn't get any practice.
Right. He's
the talent.
And here's the bottom line.
That's the fault of the media, isn't it?
No, it's not the fault of the media.
Oh.
This is his own
oh, yeah,
elite upbringing biting him on the butt. This is a guy who his entire life has not allowed anyone to disagree with him. This is a guy who his entire life, whenever he got in trouble, got bailed out either by the Bin Laden family or his father. This is a guy who, when his head economic advisor Lawrence Lindsay said, you know, you're going to have problems down the road, he fired him. This is the guy who, when General Shali Kasvili said, you're going to need more troops in Iraq, he fired him. This is the guy who brooks no dissent. This is a guy
every
who is unwilling.
Disagrees with him.
He is
every
unwilling.
He fights about their character and never what they're saying.
This is a guy who is unwilling to address a group of Republicans until they have signed a loyalty oath.
So then what we need to ask ourselves is, what's with the people who support this guy?
Well, see, I think you know, he's the bubble boy. I mean, it was really rather tragic last week to watch this, because what you were seeing with all his blinking and sweating and 15 sips of the glass is the bubble boy syndrome. You were seeing somebody who has never been exposed or has very rarely in his life. I mean, I remember the very first press conference he did, Helen Thomas got up and asked him a tough question. Boom. The woman who since Harry Truman has been the head of the press corps and sat in that front seat in the front row of the White House press office, was moved to the back of the room and has not been called on since.
And the press corps did not stand up.
That's right.
And turn their back on
you're absolutely right.
They have been behaving
like cowards. And the reason that they have been behaving like cowards is because these people, by and large, by the time you get in the food chain up to the point where you're in the White House press corps,
exactly.
you're making $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, $1 million a year, and that's one incredible job to lose over asking the president a hard question. And these
and
people are doing their self-interest rather than the interest of America.
And you know, even forget the reporters, because, you know, I was listening to the Fox News block business block. They have, like, business shows. Even on the business show at Fox, they tell them they're not allowed to say anything that's negative about George Bush. Even the business analysts are not allowed to be honest on a station like Fox.
Yeah, what a surprise. What a surprise.
That came from Ben Stein, by the way. You know who Ben Stein is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Billy, thanks for the call. Good point. Good to hear from you. And, yeah, I mean, you know, there are times when you want to just, by the way, for the folks in Vermont, tomorrow I'm doing a book signing and a discussion of What Would Jefferson Do at 7 o'clock at Bear Pond Books in Montpelier. And then we'll be home in time to watch the debates. But there are times when you want to just reach out and say, you know, wake up, America! You know, this goes beyond the Howard Beale, I'm mad as hell. You know, the Secret Service, for example, what they're up to. Let me tell you about that after this. Let's take another call here. Mike in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Tom, there's an article on a wonderful website called StupidGit.com, and the link is to the DenverChannel.com, and it's the article, Denver officials investigating documents showing Bush resigned from reserve. All of a sudden, and this came out on Thursday, and unfortunately was buried by the debates, it's a document that he just signed off and said, I don't have enough time to fulfill my obligation.
That's right. Now, actually, I read that on the air here. He when he resigned, he said, literally, exactly what you just said. He said, I don't have it right in front of me to read the exact words, but something to the effect of, I don't have the time to fulfill my guard obligations. And my comment on the air was, I'll bet that there's, 50, 60, 70,000 guardsmen and women over in Iraq right now and in Afghanistan who would love to be able to say, I'm sorry, I just don't have the time anymore to do this. But they're not they're not the sons of a vice president, or he was a son of a congressman, I guess.
It was the same during Vietnam. I was in from 67 to 71 in the Air Force as a Cambodian linguist, and it was like, when am I going? You just went and did what you were supposed to do. This guy just ran.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And well, he didn't run. He didn't have to. He used his power and privilege and wealth and his father's position to get others to create blockades so that he didn't have to encounter the harsh realities of the world. And that was my point. Thanks for the comment, Mike. I appreciate it. And that was my point about Bush being bubble boy the other day in the debates, is that what you are seeing is somebody who probably for the first time, I'll bet in the White House that whoever they had playing the role of Kerry in the debates was so afraid that George W. would throw a tantrum and fire him too, like he did Lindsey and Charlie Cuspidley and all these other guys, that he didn't toss any hard questions at Bush in the prep. Because obviously this guy had not been prepped by anybody who was throwing genuine questions or making hard statements. And it's because, in my opinion, it's because George W. will not tolerate it. He will not tolerate anybody standing up to him. You get these little glimpses into people's personalities every now and then. John Kerry makes a nice comment about George and Laura's two daughters. And what does George W. say? I'd like to put a leash on them. And what does John Kerry say? Mr. President, I'm not sure that's a good idea, or something to that effect. I mean, you get these little glimpses. I'm not one of those... I know that there's a bunch of folks on the web who are saying, I was going to call them conspiracy. This is not conspiracy. It's just, whatever. Who are suggesting that when Bush said he wanted to put a leash on his daughters, leashes on his daughters during the debate, that he was making an Abu Ghraib joke. I don't think so. I think he was saying something that he has probably said dozens of times to people, to friends, to neighbors. He probably started saying it after the jokes that they made at the Republican convention. Who knows how long he's been saying this? Maybe since they were kids. He just thinks it's funny to put leashes on people. And I'm surprised the rest of America didn't say, wait a minute, did he really say that? But, it's a small thing. We've got bigger things like the Secret Service now reportedly blocking journalists from interviewing anti-Bush protesters. The Secret Service's job is to protect the president. This is a whole different thing. Let me give you a little more detail about this right after this. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. In vacuums, bagless is a dirty word. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. And if you own one, they advise you to wear a dust mask. I would never put the Orrick name on a bagless vacuum. They're filthy. My hypoallergenic Orrick XL uses triple-walled, disposable filter bags. They hold four times more than the leading brand of bagless vacuums. What goes in the Orrick bag stays in the bag, including bacteria and viruses. Empty a bagless vacuum, and the dust goes right back into the room you've just cleaned. Is this sanitary? Orrick cleans the air as it vacuums the floor. Try my 8-pound Orrick XL risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. It's the clean alternative to bagless vacuum.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. We've all heard the phrase, use it or lose it. Well, according to a study just published in the journal Neurology, people with mentally challenging work seem to be less likely to develop Alzheimer's disease than those working in physically demanding jobs. Researchers suggest lifelong stimulus maintains a reserve of brain cells and strengthens connections between neurons.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in the Iowa Democratic Party 2000 election. For more information and more about Mike's other novels, visit iowapeace.com. The revolution won't be televised, but you can read about it. The Last Liberal Outlaw, A New American Revolution, is happening in the heartland.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you, discussing you're in the truth arena. Yes, indeed. Last month we discussed the Secret Service. This is from a blog at PNI. online.com. at a rally in the Philadelphia suburbs where agents reportedly blocked journalists from interviewing anti-Bush AIDS protesters. Now it's apparently getting worse. In Wisconsin, the student newspaper, the Daily Cardinal, says that three Racine, Wisconsin residents were ejected by the Secret Service from a recent Bush rally, not because they were a threat to the president, not because they were disrupting the event, but because they wore T-shirts with the word liar on them. They had even signed the required pledge before they came in. They'd even signed the pledge, and the Secret Service threw them out. This is, notes this blogger, this is a small but frightening step toward becoming a police state, given that the sole job of the Secret Service is to protect the physical safety of the president, not the political safety of the president. Something very significant has happened in the last 3.5 years. We have seen the security apparatus and the police apparatus of this nation become politicized in a way that in my memory has never happened in my lifetime. I mean, this is far worse than during the Vietnam War. Has never happened. And, I mean, there were little pockets of it. Mayor Daley's cops in Chicago. I mean, yeah, you knew that there were towns where the local police served the local political power structure. Small southern towns, you know, whatnot. And particularly during the civil rights era, you would see it. But it was really very issue specific. And it was wrong. But it wasn't, this was not happening at the federal level. And, you know, a lot of people who are very concerned about the power, federal power, I think, you know, right now are legitimately getting concerned. And then on top of this, you've got, you know, the media. Here we've got the Fox, you know, Carl Cameron. If you've seen the movie Outfoxed, there's this segment in Outfoxed where Carl Cameron is sucking up to George W. It's an outtake from before they did this interview. And he's saying, oh, and he's just sucking up to him. He's talking about how his wife is working with George W.'s sister on his campaign, on George W.'s campaign. And he's so happy that he's able to do that and that she's able to do that and blah, 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 blah. This is the guy that Fox has reporting on the Kerry campaign. And he published a story a couple days ago, quoting Kerry as saying, "Women should like me, I do manicures. Don't my nails and cuticles look great? What a good debate. And I'm metrosexual, Bush is a cowboy." None of which Kerry said. Carl Cameron simply made these things up and published them in a story. Fox has now, you could say to their credit, I would say they had no choice. They have pulled the story and issued an apology. But this is the guy whose wife is working on the Bush campaign with W's sister. This is our media? This is the state of American media? 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Dave in Humboldt County on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Tom, my observation on that debate, the more I think about it, I think we saw Bush at his very best. He didn't fall over. He didn't chew the end off his pen. He didn't talk about love-making gynecologists. I think you're an excellent debater, Tom. Would you like to be up there defending what you've done the last 4 years? I mean, would you like to be up there playing the Bush role?
You mean if I were George W.? No.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm amazed that they ended up agreeing to three debates. I'm amazed that he took any debates at all. I was half expecting that he would do what was it, LBJ, I think, was the last president who said no debates.
Got nothing to defend. Nothing can the man defend.
I know. It's absolutely incredible. Thanks for the call, Dave. Good to hear from you. 29 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. News without conflicts of global corporate interest, where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, I don't think so.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Jobs with Justice is releasing a report this month demonstrating how money wasted on multiple private insurance bureaucracies and to protect big company profits through subsidies could pay for providing health insurance to all Americans. The cost savings that could be realized by ending these practices could pay to cover all those who are without health insurance, according to the report. Overall, the cost of employee health insurance rose by 11.2% last year. Jobs with Justice is a national campaign creating coalitions to fight for worker rights. The group tries to unite labor, community, religious groups, and student organizations for political and social action on behalf of working families.
The government says a accounting error is to blame for overstated U.S.-funded job figures in Iraq. The State Department released figures in late September that show that projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development employ more than 30,000 less Iraqis than previously stated. Critics call it a ploy by the Bush administration, as increased employment in Iraq is one of the measures used to gauge if the war-torn country is moving toward stability. The Iraq Weekly Status Report at the end of September said 45,844 Iraqis were employed in such projects, a nearly 50% decrease from the figure of 88,436 reported in the middle of the month.
Even though nationally it's spending roughly $65 million in marshaling thousands of its members to defeat President Bush, the Service Employees International Union in Illinois is backing more than half the Republican incumbents seeking re-election to the Illinois State House. SEIU's Illinois Council President Thomas Balanoff says the SEIU is on one side, its members. SEIU is backing just one Republican state senator in Illinois.
More than 600 soldiers who were supposed to report for duty in Iraq or Afghanistan have requested more time, asked to be excused, or completely ignored the request. That number represents one-third of the individual ready response members asked to report for duty. Members of the IRR are individuals who were honorably discharged after finishing their active duty tours. It is rare for the military to call up members of the IRR. In a press conference last week, the Pentagon said as many as 3,800 IRR soldiers have been given a report date as late as March 2005. Nearly 1,500 of those have asked for a delay or exemption.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. At least one economic expert thinks the economic recovery touted by the federal government is collapsing. George Soros thinks despite a slight uptick recently, stocks will decline due to high fuel prices and stagnant worker wages that he says stifle economic growth. The S&P 500 is set to mark its first quarterly decline since March of 2003 when the U.S. attacked Iraq.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Lather was 30 years old today. They took away all of his toys.
Ah, the official George W. Bush song.
His mother sent newspaper clippings to him about his old friends who stopped being boys.
Yeah, but he's still a little petulant.
Just turned 33.
Still a little easily irritated. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Ramesh Schneider is engineering our program today. And Rama, who sometimes fills in for me on this seat, and a good friend, and also has his own talk show, radio talk show, that you can find on the internet. And Rama, type into IM the URL so I can give it a plug, if you would. Anyhow, Rama and I have been having this conversation all day, and I figured I'd just toss it out to y'all. We'll y'all. I lived in the South for a while, and we really do need a plural you. Anyhow, here's the gist of it. I am suggesting that if you go back 4 years ago, the consensus of most people who watched the first Bush-Gore debate was that Gore won. But within 4 or 5 days, people were talking about Gore's size, and the consensus slowly shifted to the point where even now many people suggest that Bush won. In fact, most. There's like this amnesia that is happening. And I'm suggesting that by the end of this week, I don't think that people are going to be saying, got it, I don't think that people are going to be saying that Kerry lost. But what's going to happen is that little soundbite of Kerry talking about a global test, where Kerry was talking about the very rational policy that has guided American foreign policy since Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, that we must let the facts be shared with a candid world. That if you're going to kill somebody, you have to at least justify to your own people why you're doing it, and ideally to everybody else as well, in a way that they can understand. And war is killing. That phrase global test, which the Republicans are trying to use to beat up John Kerry, is going to start appearing in the national media, mark my words, and the Republicans are going to re-spin this debate. And the bet that Rahm and I have is that it's going to be by the end of this week. I'm saying by the end of this week, he's saying it's going to be a dead issue, and I'm saying, no, you will have seen the phrase global test on every single ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN on a major newscast at least once sometime during this week, I predict. We'll see. We'll see who's right and who's wrong here. What do you think about this? Ellen Ratner, our correspondent with the Talk Radio News Service. You think I'm crazy, Ellen?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I'll tell you, I was so upset after I'd seen the post-debate spin from the Republican Party. It's unbelievable. I have a friend that actually is a producer and walked up to Karen Hughes and said, oh, you know, just to sort of see what she would say, oh, your guy really hit it out of the park. He's so great. He really connected the people. And she said, oh, yes, he did. He really did it. I mean, these people live on another planet.
Yeah. Well, or they you know, I would say, or they're willing to lie.
Yeah. Now, if you want to hear about the lie of the century,
yeah.
Today, Senator Kerry pledged $100 million for stem cell research programs. And he was in New Hampshire. He criticized the Bush ban on this. He also launched a new ad. It's a 30-second television ad that talks about John Kerry's commitment to lifting the political barriers blocking stem cell research. Well, now, guess what the Bush-Cheney people did?
What's that?
They came out with a statement, and they said that John Kerry has made a repeated effort to mislead the press and the public on the reality of the new federal funding. And they are now saying that President Bush delivered the first funding ever for embryonic stem cell research. Well, maybe that's the case.
Actually, it's only the case in as much as it was happening already when he became president.
Exactly. And that they were working on stem cell lines that they had had for years, half of which don't even really work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so that's how the Bush-Cheney people are spinning it, because they know people are concerned about it.
Yeah, they're trying to steal the issue. This one's polling good. It's the old, you know, lick the finger, put it in the wind, and go, aha, now we know our position. And the Republicans have done this so much and so often while proclaiming that they are absolutely consistent and values-driven, and yet, you know, Bush has flip-flopped on so many things, from the 9/11 commission to whether or not the 26 now rationalizations for invading Iraq, to whether or not there should be a Department of Homeland Security, to on and on and on. I mean, it's just I'm ranting again. Ellen, what's going on in Washington D.C.?
Okay.
Beyond that,
the other thing that's going on is that. Well, the Bush team is still trying to explain the grimace, saying it was the same kind of looks that happened during the first Gore debate, but this one, because he's president, it looked different.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought Louise did an interesting comparison over the weekend, and this was, you know, nothing that we could do on the radio, unfortunately. If we had a TV show, she pulled up the video, which you can find on the web in a bunch of different places, of my pet goat, you know, of the bush after he's been told that the 9/11 has happened.
Right.
And played that along with the DNC video of Bush's grimaces, and they're the same expressions. They're the same expressions. It's the deer in headlamps look. It's the, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do about this. I'm freaked out. I don't like this situation. I don't want to be here. Those, you know, those,
well,
it's got to be that
press conferences where he could practice some of this. He wouldn't be in this trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the other thing. You know, I am convinced that he's the bubble boy, that he is in this trouble because every time he gets an advisor who disagrees with him, whether it was Lawrence Lindsay or Charlie Kasvili or whoever, you know, we're going to need more troops or this economic policy. He fires them. Anybody who dares stand up to him and disagree with him, he gets rid of. And so he's got nothing but yes men around him, which is why he thinks that he's invincible. He thinks that everything he does is perfect. Even when he goes to speak to groups of Republicans, they have to sign loyalty oaths and they have to be pre-selected. And he is literally out of touch with the real world.
Well, that's certainly my impression. But let me just tell you a couple other things.
Sure.
They are now also the Kerry Edwards people put out an ad today, or put out actually a drive. Mary Beth Cahill put out a letter to supporters and asked for money that will essentially fund any kind of recount and any kind of election challenges. It's going to be a special election challenge account, and they're now trying to raise money specifically for that purpose.
Interesting. In advance.
In advance, that's right, because there are, well, I sat on the plane back from the Florida debates. I sat next to the man who's in charge of this, or the African-American vote for the Kerry campaign,
mm-hmm.
and he said that they are seeing voter intimidation in Florida, people are going to people's houses who organized some of the protests for the year 2000 and trying to see what they're going to be doing.
Pre-threatening them.
That they are very concerned about voter intimidation in Florida, and they are trying to raise the money now to make sure that any challenges such as that are dealt with.
Yeah, yeah. And then you've got situations where the Republican Secretary of State in Colorado is putting up barriers to registration. We had the same thing in Ohio last week. We had everybody listening to this program calling the Secretary of State of Ohio. He finally backed down as a result of all the phone calls he was getting and the harassment. I would like to credit our program with it. I'm sure that there were a lot of others who were doing the same thing. But there is a full press court or a full court press going on among the Republicans nationwide to drive down or to prevent these new Democrats who are registering from registering or participating, to make sure that their felon lists are up to date, and to scare and intimidate anybody who particularly in minority communities who might dare speak out or organize voter drives. It's downright scary.
Couple other quick things. The Supreme Court today, they declined to hear several cases. One of them was an appeal by three men who are being held as U.S. enemy combatants, but they're being held in South Carolina. However, these people are apparently going to be free to bring up the case within another jurisdiction. And for good news for you and me, the justices are letting stand a lower court ruling that said the federal government's do not call list does not violate a telemarketer's free speech right.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's
our report from Washington.
That is your report from Washington. I'll talk to you tomorrow, probably from Cleveland.
Okay, great. Ellen, thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for keeping us up to date. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. It's 17 minutes before the hour, 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Dr. Laura yesterday. I'm sorry, it was on the day of the presidential debate. It was Thursday. Dr. Laura, we have insurgents, terrorists, Muslim terrorists in Baghdad murdering children to make sure Senator John Kerry is elected. I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. Laura Schlesinger, Dr. Laura, saying that they are murdering children in Baghdad to make sure that Kerry is elected. 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. Rich from Chicago is on the line. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Great. What's up?
Hey, you know, I'm out on this Vote for Change tour. So
mm-hmm.
I've been on the last few days. I've been in a couple different states. I was in Ohio a couple days ago, swing state. I'm from Chicago, obviously. But
Rich, tell us a little bit about the Vote for Change tour for those folks who are not familiar with it.
Sure. There's 30 bands playing in the swing states in each large city in a swing state. And what they're out there basically doing is advocating change, but by stirring up people to register to vote and make sure that they understand how important this next election is and get out there and support, you know, your candidate.
But, mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's for change, you know.
Yeah, and change meaning no more Bush.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, I was sitting on the bus in our tour bus in Ohio, and I'm watching the news. And towards the end of the news, the newscaster went to give his commentary, you know, a little side commentary. And it was literally a laundry list of why Kerry would be bad as president.
Hmm.
And I was shocked to watch a newscaster get the freedom on television to be able to do that. He said, you know, here's the bullet points. Here's why. And a lot of this Swift boat stuff, and obviously he lied about his record, and he did this and did that. I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching unbiased news reporting here, you know, in the middle of the evening news. You know, shocking. But I drove home from Michigan last night and saw the billboards as I was going through the state. Every couple miles, Bush Cheney, are you concerned about your freedom? Bush Cheney, are you concerned about your children's future? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like scare tactic.
Oh yeah, Be afraid.
It's
be very afraid
when you're in the swing state.
Yeah, you've got to read George Orwell's book 1984.
Oh, I did absolutely. And I guess it was 20 years late.
But yeah, it would have been interesting, Rich, if you'd gotten the name of that newscaster in Illinois and the or whatever state that
no,
was.
No, it was in Ohio. His
in
last
Ohio.
Thing was like Hyman or something like that. I remember the name because I thought it was a unique name,
yeah.
But. You know, like John Hyman, we were in Columbus, Ohio, and at the end he gave his little, you know, presentation, and I mean, it was as bad as watching Fox, and this was just wasn't cable, it was just the regular local station.
I'd love to track that back and get those folks on the air and see if they can justify that.
Absolutely, yeah, and if you get a transcript of it, I'm sure you would just be floored. I was, and I go, I can't believe I'm watching.
Although most of these local stations don't keep or publish, they keep recordings of the show, but they don't publish transcripts.
Oh, I see, sure.
Yeah. But interesting.
But anyway, I just thought you'd get a kick out of it. These are strange days out there.
This is journalism has just gone to hell in a handbasket. Pardon my language, but I mean, ever since the corporate takeover of the news business in the United States. You know, when I was a news reporter, and Rich, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. When I was a news reporter back in the 70s, most local stations mimicked what the national networks did, which is that they ran their news operations as separate divisions or separated them out, whether or not they made money. Because there was this community service provision in the FCC rules that said that if you want to broadcast on the nation's airwaves, you must serve the local community. And there was this broad consensus that providing honest, unbiased news was part of service to the local community. And so it didn't matter if the news division lost money, because the news division was one of the things that allowed the radio station or television station to stay on the air. It fulfilled the community service requirements. And the national networks did the same thing. Of course, they owned many of the stations that they were on. That was part of it. And they were providing, you know, product to local stations who needed that product that fulfilled those community service requirements. And so we got news. We got real news. And then during the Reagan administration, they said, hey, you know, we're not going to enforce this anymore. They did away with the Fairness Doctrine in 86. You had Lush Limbaugh coming out in 87. I suppose I shouldn't criticize it. Here I am. I get to rant on my side, but I'm very ambivalent about a Fairness Doctrine thing. But I do believe that there needs to this whole idea of community service is very real, and that we've seen the destruction of the quality of journalism in America come about as a result of the commercialization of news. News has become infotainment. Reporters go after what's going to get the best ratings, not what is the information that people in a democracy need to know in order for their democracy to function. And I'm not saying the reporters are necessarily the best gatekeepers of that information, but that is part of the training that you go through in journalism school. So, anyhow, the U.S. and Taiwan, I want to get into this in the next hour. This is amazing. And, of course, Dick Cheney. I have a Dick Cheney quote for the day. I'll share it with you right after we come back from this break. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
A group of biologists wants to connect corridors of wilderness that cross North America. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Imagine wilderness corridors that stretch from Canada to Mexico, unbroken chains of forest, prairie, wetland, and stream. That's the vision of the Wildlands Project, a group of conservation biologists and wilderness advocates. They argue that wildlife needs more than a patchwork of preserved areas and that migrating species and large predators especially need room to roam. Chip Ward writes about the project in his new book, Hope's Horizon.
So the Wildlands Project is now identifying critical habitat and buffer areas and corridors for wildlife to migrate, and they're putting together government agents, private landowners, land trusts, every different partner that they can find out there, and trying to get them to set goals for putting aside a much, much bigger portion of land all across the continent so that someday, if a large carnivore was inclined, it could travel from Canada all the way down to Mexico.
The project started in 1991 and spent its first decade shoring up its scientific case for wildlife corridors. Ward says the next goal is to build public support for the idea and persuade other conservation organizations to join the effort.
the Wildlands Project just rolled up his sleeves and said, let's start educating people, let's start putting people together, and let's start remapping the continent. And people who are inclined will use those maps to try to get together and figure out how they can save habitat and make for healthier landscapes.
Ward says project supporters know they face an uphill struggle to see their vision become a reality. They figure it will take about 100 years to create wildlife corridors that connect across North America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Hello, trouble. Come on in. You talk about heartaches. Where in the world you been?
And speaking of trouble, Dick Cheney taking on John Edwards tomorrow night. By the way, let me just clarify something. Rama Schneider wants me to make sure that he didn't come in and say, make sure that they understand. But I want to make sure that everybody understands. Rama has raised the bar for himself. He's saying, I thought he was saying that by the end of the week, the spin, this Republican lie, that they are suggesting that John Kerry had somehow said in last week's debate that before the United States declares war on anybody, there's some sort of global test that we would have to pass, like an exam kind of test, as opposed to the smell test. You know, in other words, you got to be able to explain this to your own people and to the world. I mean, that's basically what Kerry was saying. He was talking about what you know, sometimes you refer to as the smell test. Does this thing smell right? That Rama is saying that the Republican efforts to spin this thing are actually going to backfire on them and work against them. And I'm saying they're going to get away with it. And you're going to see the phrase global test on all the network news programs by the end of the week at least once. And you, our listeners, can determine who wins the bet. So far, we haven't figured out what we're betting. Who's right? Check out the news. Because between Rama and me, we still aren't able to watch all three news networks, but if you hear any reference to global test on any network TV news shows during the course of this week, call us and let us know, please. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Now, here's the quote that I am hopeful John Edwards will raise in this debate this weekend, or tomorrow, rather. This is a quote from Dick Cheney, and I quote, this was, of course, he was the Secretary of Defense when he said this in 1992. It was just after the Iraq, the first Gulf War. He said, I guess if we had gone in there, that being Baghdad, I would still have forces in Baghdad today. We'd be running the country. We would not have been able to get everybody out and bring everybody home. And the final point that I think needs to be made, Dick Cheney said in 1992, is this question of casualties. I don't think you could have done all of that without significant additional U.S. casualties. And while everybody was tremendously impressed with the low cost of the 1991 conflict, for the 146 Americans who were killed in action and for their families, it wasn't a cheap war. And the question in my mind is, how many additional American casualties is Saddam Hussein worth? And the answer is not that damned many. This quote from Dick Cheney in 92. So let's see if John Edwards can toss this one back at him and see how he responds. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, Defending America from the Conservative Weapons of Mass Deception.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
These have been tough times for most Americans. The economy has been in the toilet, and there's all this scary terrorism going on. But Ordinary people have risen to the challenge and tightened their belts and paid more of the tax burden, while unions get busted and jobs outsourced and benefits cut. All so we billionaires could enjoy more wealth than ever before. Now, you're not going to hear it from Bill Gates or Kenneth Lay, but I want to take a moment to thank you all for your generosity and grace, for everything you've done just for us. And now I'm off to squander my obscenely large tax refund on another vacation home and my third yacht. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Pick up the billionaire!
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Jobs with Justice is releasing a report this month demonstrating how money wasted on multiple private insurance bureaucracies and to protect big company profits through subsidies could pay for providing health insurance to all Americans. The cost savings that could be realized by ending these practices could pay to cover all those who are without health insurance, according to the report. Overall, the cost of employee health insurance rose by 11.2% last year. Jobs with Justice is a national campaign creating coalitions to fight for worker rights. The group tries to unite labor, community, religious groups, and student organizations for political and social action on behalf of working families.
The government says an accounting error is to blame for overstated U.S.-funded job figures in Iraq. The State Department released figures in late September that show that projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development employ more than 30,000 less Iraqis than previously stated. Critics called a ploy by the Bush administration, as increased employment in Iraq is one of the measures used to gauge if the war-torn country is moving towards stability. The Iraq Weekly Status Report at the end of September said 45,844 Iraqis were employed in such projects, a nearly 50% decrease from the figure of 88,436 reported in the middle of the month.
Even though nationally it's spending roughly $65 million and marshaling thousands of its members to defeat President Bush, the Service Employees International Union in Illinois is backing more than half the Republican incumbents seeking re-election to the Illinois State House. SEIU's Illinois Council President Thomas Balanoff says the SEIU is on one side, its members. SEIU is backing just one Republican state senator in Illinois.
More than 600 soldiers who were supposed to report for duty in Iraq or Afghanistan have requested more time, asked to be excused, or completely ignored the request. That number represents one-third of the individual ready response members asked to report for duty. Members of the IRR are individuals who were honorably discharged after finishing their active duty tours. It is rare for the military to call up members of the IRR. In a press conference last week, the Pentagon said as many as 3,800 IRR soldiers have been given a report date as late as March 2005. Nearly 1,500 of those have asked for a delay or exemption.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. At least one economic expert thinks the economic recovery touted by the federal government is collapsing. George Soros thinks despite a slight uptick recently, stocks will decline due to high fuel prices and stagnant worker wages that he says stifled economic growth. The S&P 500 is set to mark its first quarterly decline since March of 2003 when the U.S. attacked Iraq.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
So, Jasper, how was your year?
Excellent. This administration gives the best returns ever.
Do tell.
Well, the money I paid to a lobbying firm in Washington brought in over $50 million in overseas contracts.
Oh, yes, lobbying pays.
Are you still into commodities, Max?
No, I'm funding politicians. My campaign contributions got me over $100 million worth of regulation waivers.
Well done, Max.
Today's wisest investments are in politics. Where are you throwing your money?
Easily paid for by BillionairesForBush.com.
Time for another Gooberhead Award. Presented periodically to those in the news who have their tongues going 100 miles an hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's goober is Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire mayor of the Big Apple. His honor was in the national spotlight during August's Republican National Convention in New York City, and the glare reveals some very ugly wrinkles inside his soul. Bloomberg showed himself to be stunningly callous to our country's most fundamental liberty, the right to assemble in public and speak out about any and all policies with which we disagree. He used the New York City police as a bludgeon to crack down on dissenters who were engaged in totally lawful protests. Then he asserted that every NYPD officer did a great job. Alex Pincus definitely disagrees. He wasn't even a protester, just a city resident who went out to a deli for some matzo ball soup and innocently walked into a police dragnet that was indiscriminately scooping up hundreds of people. Pincus asked an officer how to get out of the way. He was told, "Follow me." Then was grabbed by the cops, handcuffed behind his back, forced to kneel for an hour before being tossed into a filthy makeshift cage topped with razor wire, where he was held for 25 hours without access to a lawyer. Bloomberg's police kept saying to him and all the others, "This is what you get for protesting." Oblivious to America's hard-won constitutional rights, the mayor later admitted that innocents were abused, but the gooberhead blamed the victims. "If you go to where the people are protesting and don't want to be part of the protest," he haughtily sniffed, "you're always going to run the risk that maybe you'll be tied up with it." Yeah, literally tied up. This is Jim Hightower saying, our liberties are not taken from us in one big bang of a coup, but slipped out from under us inch by inch by autocratic goobers like Bloomberg.
Larry King here. You've heard me talk about Ester C. Well, now you can get more from your vitamin E. Introducing the advanced protection of Ester E from the makers of Ester C. Ester E's breakthrough form protects its antioxidant strength until your body is ready to use it. So do what I do and get more from your E. Take new Ester E. E-S-T-E-R-E. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin E?
And now, look for new Ester E where fine vitamins are sold.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first six payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
So I think we got it right, says Dick Cheney in 1992, when as Secretary of Defense, he supervised the invasion of Kuwait to expel Saddam Hussein from that nation. So I think we got it right, both when we decided to expel him from Kuwait, but also when the president, George Herbert Walker Bush, the senior, made the decision that we'd achieved our objectives, and we were not going to get bogged down in the problems of trying to take over and govern Iraq. End quote. Dick Cheney. So, will John Edwards raise this in the debates tomorrow night? Be interesting to see. I want to share with you, I think, something that concerns me greatly. Taiwan has fired a shot across the bow of the Bush administration today. And they did it in an advertisement, a full-page ad, on page A13 of the New York Times, or at least on page A13 of the edition that I get here in the People's Republic of Vermont. And this is going to be a huge issue. And I want to bring this to your attention in just a moment. First of all, welcome to our program. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, streaming around the planet on radiopower.org. And our number 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to call into the program. If you want to drop into our chat room or participate in our message board, our online message board, you'll find both at www.tomhartman.com, as well as links to archives of the program on White Rose Society and archives that we have on the tomhartman.com website as well. Brian in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind?
Well, there's a lot on my mind, and a lot of it is your doing, which is good.
Okay.
And I don't want to throw you off track with your your story about Taiwan, I think.
Well, I haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay.
So let's. I know you've been on hold here for a few minutes, and you're probably calling about something we were talking about in the last hour. So.
Well, this is. I just had a conversation with a friend of mine who's recently converted to progressivism from a conservative background, and basically is going against his family's doctrine, which has existed for generations. And he's trying to convince his siblings to be a little bit more open-minded about this election. And he's in a dilemma, and I try to help, but I can't really come up with anything sound in sound bites, I should say. But his siblings continually express fear that if we elect Kerry, they are going to come get us, and they want to kill all of us. And, of course, I throw out facts and figures and debates and this and that, and it just doesn't stick. So what's your advice? How do you handle people like that?
Well, I think you have to help them understand who the they are and what they are, why they are coming after us. I mean, the Bush administration, first of all, this has nothing to do with liberal or conservative, and that's that broadly. I mean, that's part of the tragedy of it. Although I suppose at one level it does, in as much as there is... In the conservative worldview, you know, the stern father worldview, as George Lakoff would put it, there is this notion that, and particularly in the libertarian part of the conservative worldview, there's this notion that it's the individual above all. That if individual self-interest is always served, you know, the greed is good, that if individual self-interest is always served, it will end up serving society. And the ancient tribal worldview and the democratic worldview and liberal worldview says something a little different, which says we're all in this together.
Correct.
That you know, this is just one spaceship Earth. That whether you look at it at the level of the individual family, the individual community, the individual nation, or the planet, we're all in this together. And that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And that if we want to have a stronger society, a stronger world, a stronger nation, we need to be attending to the needs of all of us. And that when you lift people up and provide them with opportunity, not, you know, a hand up, not a handout, okay? Although occasionally a handout is necessary as part of a hand up. When you lift people up, the vast majority of them will rise to the occasion and they will become productive members of society. And we saw this in the huge transition of people from absolute poverty in the United States in the 20s and 30s into the middle class in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, you know, people are just, you know, they just don't want to work or they're just lazy. I mean, certainly there's this very tiny minority who are the exception, the exception to the rule, actually.
Right.
But so in that regard, I think it's important that we realize that the people who are attacking us are part of the world community, and they have issues with us, and their issues are not what we have been told by the Bush administration. They don't hate us because of our freedoms. And probably the most articulate person about this, if you want to share this with conservatives, is Pat Buchanan. Have them read Pat Buchanan's book, Where the Right Went Wrong, which is actually a brilliant book. And I'm not a big fan of Pat Buchanan. I think the guy's a Nazi, but in many regards. But Pat has nailed down exactly what's going on in Iraq, and it's what I've been saying here for you know 2 years on this radio program, and that is that they don't hate us because of our freedoms. They hate us because of our foreign policy. They hate us because we have occupied, and we and our stooges, the Saudi royal family, Saddam Hussein, when we installed him back 25, 30 years ago, and the list goes on. I mean, you know, look at all of the dictators in the Middle East that we put in place to protect our oil interests.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, bin Laden and these guys, and we created the Mujahideen, we created Al-Qaeda to help throw the Soviets out of Afghanistan so that Unocal could build an oil pipeline across Afghanistan. And now you've got the former Unocal oil pipeline consultant, Hamid Karzai, the head of Afghanistan. I mean, shouldn't somebody be scratching their head at this point?
Well, I think a lot of us scratch our heads and come to the realization that we do. These people, however, are not interested in historical perspective. They think the Quran is telling these people, go kill the infidel. I mean, this is where these specific people are coming from.
Right, and there are some Muslims who are suggesting that, and they are by and large the Wahhabists. They're part of this the Wahhabist sect who follow Ism bin Wahb, as I recall, who died in the 60s or 70s. But he was brought to power in the 50s by the Saudi royal family and by us. They kind of deal with the devil with this guy, and he represents to Islam what Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson represent to Christianity, which is the branch that says that, you know, when Falwell and Robertson on the 700 Club said that God allowed 9/11 to happen because of homosexuality in the United States, it's that fundamentalist branch of religion that sees God as this angry punishing force, and we should be angry punishing instruments of it. And that's the Wahhabist worldview, and they're right in that regard. So, you know, the way that you respond to that is not to feed it. It's not to do what they predict you're going to do. The way you respond to that is to make the world a more decent, sane, safe place and get our troops out of that region and let them deal with their problems themselves. And we can't do that until we stop being addicted to their oil.
Right. Well, you're right. You're right. Okay.
You think that's too complicated? That's not a soundbite.
That's the problem. I mean, these people, they need little tiny bits of information.
Yeah. Well, you know, a soundbite is, you know, our addiction to their oil is part, well, you know, it's like the problem is that they are lacking, that so much of the history of this has been stolen from them, you know, has been taken away by people like George Bush saying that they hate us for our freedoms. As Pat Buchanan points out in his book, he says, you know, Bin Laden wasn't sitting around in a cave one day and stumbled across a copy of the Bill of Rights, you know, and went, holy cow, we can't allow this.
Right.
You know, give me a break.
That's a good suggestion. The book is probably a good suggestion.
Yeah, but it's actually, you know, for any thinking conservative, Pat Buchanan's book really gives him a lot of pause. It's called Where the Right Went Wrong, and it's still a very conservative book. I mean, you know, it's a book that is advocating conservative positions,
mm-hmm.
and saying the war in Iraq is not a conservative war.
Right.
It's an extremist war. It's a radical war.
Okay. If you can, from time to time, pop, you know, these sorts of tidbits out that we can use, that would be great.
I'll keep an eye out for them. And you know, any other questions, call in. Brian, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Great to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Scott in Glorieta, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Scott, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how are you? I was listening to your previous caller and his friend's struggles to try to put some teeth into looking at John Kerry's record, particularly on terrorism. And I could only bring this up briefly on Friday. There is an amazing article. If you go to WashingtonMonthly.com, the article is called Follow the Money. And it really, not quite enough detail, but gives you a great overview about how by 1991, and this is quoting the article, Kerry had helped dismantle a massive criminal enterprise exposing the infrastructure of BCCI and its affiliated
right.
institutions.
Yeah, I wrote
and
about
they go,
this.
They go on to talk about how Kerry, not in a high-profile way, but basically instead of, you know, swatting flies, he drained the swamp of terrorism by cutting off its funding, and it's just an incredibly revealing article about how smart Kerry was, not risking American lives, not spending billions of dollars, but just sticking to the facts as a basically criminal investigator and exposing what BCCI was all about,
right.
let alone the fact that at the same time George Bush was taking loans from BCCI.
Yeah, I was just going to say the part of that story, and I think one of the reasons that the Democrats don't like talking about BCCI is because several high-profile Democrats got caught up in that web. Clark Clifford comes to mind. I may be wrong. And the reason, obviously, the Republicans don't talk about it is because both Bush Sr. and W. were involved in BCCI in this huge criminal enterprise, and as was the Bin Laden family. I mean, this was like, you know, terrorism central funding, and this was the place to launder money.
Absolutely. I mean, the
article. Kerry brought it down.
In retrospect, Kerry's investigation had uncovered an institution at the fulcrum of America's first great post-Cold War security challenge. And, you know, BCCI was definitely, you know, your Al-Qaeda part one. I mean, quote unquote, you know, their purpose was to, quote, fight the evil influence of the West and finance Muslim terrorist organizations. And, you know, Kerry didn't send a single American soldier over to any place to do this. He did it through investigative arms of Congress and kicked their butts.
Yeah. BCCI, by the way, for the benefit of our listeners who don't know, being the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, you know, one of the largest criminal enterprises probably in the history of the world in terms of total dollars, brought down by a congressional investigation led by John Kerry. And good point. Excellent point. Scott, thank you very much for sharing that. I do appreciate it. Good to hear from you. And 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. 80% of the folks in Taiwan view themselves not as Chinese but as Taiwanese. Yet China continues to insist that Taiwan is part of China. And George W. has been going along with this. Where is this going to lead? This is, you know, not the story on the front page of your local paper today, I guarantee it. But when this, if this thing blows up, it's going to make Mount St. Helens look like a picnic. More right after this, 20 minutes after the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month per second and each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call now.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Have you visited 100fires.com lately? If not, then you're missing out on thousands of books for a better world. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, creating more livable communities, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. I remember back in the 60s, this was an issue that was near and dear to the hearts of Republicans, you know, of conservative Republicans, of the Barry Goldwater Republicans, you know, the issue of Taiwan. In fact, it was, you know, it was enough to make mainstream Republicans roll their eyes, and Democrats, I never really got really clear what the Democratic position on all this was. I think it was, you know, let's suck up to China, and that's what we've been doing. And this frankly, it transcends politics, in my opinion. This is George Bush is blowing it here, but I think, you know, Bill Clinton did too. And it's at some point we're going to have to confront this, and when we do, it could be very, very messy. I mean, this is a very dangerous situation, and what has made it so dangerous, way beyond just the issue of Taiwan and China and the military, the fact that, you know, China has 500 missiles pointed at Taiwan now in the Straits of Taiwan there. And, you know, and Taiwan is being encouraged by the United States to buy weapons and all this kind of thing. What makes it even more dangerous is the fact that the Bush administration has run us into the ditch economically, you know, run us into debt with their tax cuts for the rich. And the only way that they've been able to keep the government operating is by borrowing hundreds of billions of dollars every year from China. I mean, first they used up all of the Social Security Trust Fund. They used up all of the Medicare Trust Fund. Yes, they have, each of the last 3 years. And then they went out and they borrowed hundreds of billions of dollars from China. And China's in a position right now where they hold so much U.S. debt that they could bring us to our knees economically overnight. And so in the midst of this, here on page 813 of today's New York Times, a full-page ad signed by Kwang Ming-ku, the senior advisor to the president, Taipei, Taiwan, has his picture on it. And the headline says, U.S. adherence to one China policy only benefits communist dictators. Let Taiwan speak out for lasting peace. And he points out, the U.S. has become so alarmed by this military buildup, they're talking about between China and Taiwan, or in China, that it is now pushing the Taiwanese to buy $20 billion worth of arms from the U.S. and buy them quickly. After all, the continued presence of free and independent Taiwan has contributed greatly to the U.S. security interest in East Asia. But here is the contradiction. Now, I'm reading from this ad placed by the Taiwanese government. First of all, they point out that the Bush administration is leaning on them hard to give $20 billion to American defense contractors. What a surprise there. And they say, now, but here is the contradiction. While the U.S. is telling the Taiwanese to increase their arms purchases to deter a communist takeover, it is also telling the same Taiwanese that they cannot have their own country, their own constitution, their own national anthem, or even a flag of their own choosing, and that they have to keep the relics of the Chiang Kai-shek era in the name of maintaining the status quo. This is no way to stand up and fight for freedom and democracy. say the Taiwanese. This is no way to maintain peace either, especially when the Chinese side has no intention of maintaining the status quo. Furthermore, the U.S. moves to limit democratic voices in Taiwan in this context, like the appeasement in 1938, is highly demoralizing to the people of Taiwan, especially when the U.S. is failing to stop the Chinese military buildup. Indeed, the U.S.'s adherence to the One China policy reinforces the communist dictator's conviction that their view on Taiwan is the correct one, and that they have the inalienable right to decide Taiwan's future. This is a powder keg, my friends. This is a powder keg. And just like we have created this absolute mess in the Middle East by becoming addicted to Middle Eastern oil, because we didn't follow Jimmy Carter's advice in the 70s, and instead the first thing that Ronald Reagan did when he came into office on oil industry money was to take down the solar collectors on the roof of the White House and to cancel all the tax credits that were giving birth to a solar and alternative energy industry in the United States that would have broken our dependence on Middle Eastern oil. Reagan undid that. Similarly now, Bush has increased our addiction to communist Chinese money. And thus we can't stand up for Taiwan. It is a mess. 29 minutes past the hour.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. How do you tell if an air purifier is worth what you paid for it? Well, place a balloon over it. If the balloon flies up in the air, like it does with an Orrick air purifier, that's pure fresh air pushing it. But if it falls to the floor, there's virtually no air movement. Try my Orrick air purifier free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. Remember, if the balloon doesn't fly, I wouldn't buy.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Jobs with Justice is releasing a report this month demonstrating how money wasted on multiple private insurance bureaucracies and to protect big company profits through subsidies could pay for providing health insurance to all Americans. The cost savings that could be realized by ending these practices could pay to cover all those who are without health insurance, according to the report. Overall, the cost of employee health insurance rose by 11.2% last year. Jobs with Justice is a national campaign creating coalitions to fight for worker rights. The group tries to unite labor, community, religious groups, and student organizations for political and social action on behalf of working families.
The government says a accounting error is to blame for overstated U.S.-funded job figures in Iraq. The State Department released figures in late September that show that projects funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development employ more than 30,000 less Iraqis than previously stated. Critics call it a ploy by the Bush administration, as increased employment in Iraq is one of the measures used to gauge if the war-torn country is moving towards stability. The Iraq Weekly Status Report at the end of September said 45,844 Iraqis were employed in such projects, a nearly 50% decrease from the figure of 88,436 reported in the middle of the month.
Even though nationally it's spending roughly $65 million in marshaling thousands of its members to defeat President Bush, the Service Employees International Union in Illinois is backing more than half the Republican incumbents seeking re-election to the Illinois State House. SEIU's Illinois Council President Thomas Balanoff says the SEIU is on one side, its members. SEIU is backing just one Republican state senator in Illinois.
More than 600 soldiers who were supposed to report for duty in Iraq or Afghanistan have requested more time, asked to be excused, or completely ignored the request. That number represents one-third of the individual ready response members asked to report for duty. Members of the IRR are individuals who were honorably discharged after finishing their active duty tours. It is rare for the military to call up members of the IRR. In a press conference last week, the Pentagon said as many as 3,800 IRR soldiers have been given a report date as late as March 2005. Nearly 1,500 of those have asked for a delay or exemption.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. At least one economic expert thinks the economic recovery touted by the federal government is collapsing. George Soros thinks despite a slight uptick recently, stocks will decline due to high fuel prices and stagnant worker wages that he says stifle economic growth. The S&P 500 is set to mark its first quarterly decline since March of 2003 when the U.S. attacked Iraq.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving, it's just you.
And welcome back, 27 minutes before the hour. John Kerry yesterday saying, not too long ago, the American dream was in reach for every single person willing to reach for it. Today, for too many families, the dream has been taken, is being taken away by decisions making in Washington. Amen. The American middle class at risk. By the way, just to wrap up this thing about China, the people say, well, you know, how did China get those hundreds of billions of dollars to loan to the Bush administration so that it could afford to give tax breaks to billionaires in the United States? Well, that's the other part of the equation that most Americans don't understand and people don't talk about much, and that's the trade deficit. We buy more stuff from China than we sell to them. So they end up with all kinds of our dollars, because we buy stuff from them. We give them our dollars in exchange for the stuff that, you know, if you walk into any store in America and count what percentage of the stuff in there is made in China. We are giving them our money, and they've got to do something with it. What are they doing with it? They're loaning it back to us. And it's a game that can only be played as long as they continue to agree to play it. And they have got the Bush administration now terrified. So terrified that recently, during the election in Taiwan, this was a month or so ago, there was the president of Taiwan wanted to put this thing on the ballot, on the referendum on the ballot, where people got to say, yes, we think Taiwan should be an independent nation. That's all. I mean, and the president of the United States personally in a news conference said, you shouldn't do this. Chastise Taiwan. The president of our nation said to the president of another democracy, you should not behave in a democratic fashion. You should kowtow to a communist dictatorship just across the border from you, because he didn't say, now here's the because that he didn't say, because we owe them so much money. And our large corporations that are supporting this administration make so much profit in China that we don't want to upset that apple cart. Who cares about democracy? That's not the issue. The issue is not upsetting the apple cart. We have Edwards and Cheney going to be debating here this weekend. By the way, our number 1-866-889-8894. Edwards and Cheney are going to be debating. Gwen Ifill is going to be asking the questions. Gwen Ifill of Public Broadcasting. This a comment she made on Meet the Press on June 27th. It was just a few weeks ago. I just so you can get inside the head of the woman who's going to be asking questions of Cheney and Edwards. Gwen Ifill, she says, and I quote, "Well, as David Brooks pointed out in the New York Times yesterday, in Europe, Michael Moore goes about widely bashing America and bashing Americans as being stupid and not knowing how to put one foot in front of the other, and he's received like a conquering hero. They love this. They want to hear this. Now, that's fine. They think he's a documentarian. They think he's bringing them the facts. Now, they don't vote in American elections, but there is a wider question to be raised about the impact of Americans who take that abroad in a time of war." End quote. Gwen Ifill on Meet the Press raising the question, is it appropriate for Americans to exercise free speech? Is it appropriate for Americans to exercise free speech?
This David Christopher Naylor Swanson writes a column, Edwards to take on Cheney and Eiffel. And he makes some really good points in this. He says, Edwards must be the one to force Cheney to address his secret meetings in which oil barons have written government policy. Now, I mean, the Supreme Court has ruled against him. The Supreme Court has ruled that Dick Cheney, you have to reveal who was in that meeting, but you can wait until after the election. I mean, after, what do you think? They're going to embarrass him before the election? These are the guys who put him in power. 5-4 vote in the Supreme Court. Edwards is the only one who can make the killing of Iraqis for the profits of Halliburton a topic of debate. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Killing of Iraqis for the profit of Halliburton. Tell me why else did we go into Iraq if it wasn't to support our oil industry? Iraq sitting on 10% of the world's known oil reserves, the second richest oil stocks held by any one country in the world. Building 14 permanent bases now in Iraq. We have outlawed in Iraq labor unions. And at the same time, done away with all Iraqi laws, similar to laws on that virtually every nation has, that say that if a company wants to come in from outside the nation and do business, they have to conform to certain requirements. These vary from nation to nation. We used to have these laws in the United States until the conservatives got a hold of them. Domestic content laws. We still have a few remnants. They've figured out ways around them. A certain percentage of stuff must be made in this country, those kinds of things. Nah, not in Iraq. Iraq is the great crucible. It's the great testing ground for the libertarian/neoconservative worldview. Let's have an absolutely unregulated economy, flat tax, so that the guy, making a dollar a day is paying the same tax rate as the multimillionaire, even though the multimillionaire is using a lot more of the resources of the nation and has, made much greater benefits of the blessings of liberty, as it were. Only Edwards, Gwen Eiffel is not going to ask Dick Cheney. I can guarantee you, she's not going to ask Dick Cheney. Mr. Cheney, why is it that your administration holds the position that it's a good thing for us to ship American jobs overseas? Ain't going to happen. She's not going to say, why is it that the only way that anybody can easily find a job that pays $100,000 a year in America anymore, which is a lot of money, is by going to work for Halliburton and going to Iraq and getting beheaded? Halliburton or one of your other crony companies. How come Gwen Eiffel could ask, but she won't, so Edwards is going to have to raise it. How come, according to the New York Times yesterday, the Sunday edition of the New York Times, a 20-page, it was an incredibly long article, detailed, thorough. The CIA and the Energy Department were repeatedly saying, those aluminum tubes are for rockets, they're not for nuclear use. Why did you lie to the American people about that? Why did you lie to the United Nations about that? I suppose you could just say nothing, but, there is this smell test that has to be passed before a nation goes to war. Oh, wait a minute. That's a global test. You don't think that you should have to justify your actions even to your own people. Is that right, Mr. Cheney? There's some hard questions that could be asked. Gwen Eiffel is not going to ask them. I guarantee you that. Hopefully John Edwards will. 1-866-889-8894. Telephone number, Armin in Sarasota, Florida on the line. Hey, Armin, what's up?
Hey, in yesterday's Sarasota Herald Tribune in Sarasota, Florida, Sarasota Herald Tribune, on the front page, there's a great big heading that says sticker shock. It says the most expensive real estate market in the state has a warning for Sarasota. Apparently we're second worst disproportionately in the state. what I'm saying here is two-thirds of the people that are working down here in service job, listen to this. They're making about $24,000 average.
Right.
It's got to be even worse than that because they're saying average.
Right.
So there's probably quite a few that make a lot less than that. Two-thirds of the working class is making $24,000 or less, and the median house price in Sarasota County is now $271,000.
Yeah.
Now, you know what that says?
What that says is that you, a train wreck is coming.
What that says is this is your Republican state, Republican governor, Republican county, Catherine Harris and Porter Goss's district. What it says is it's feudalism. It says that there's open borders, there's illegals that saturate in the job market that's ruining the wages for the working people.
Yeah.
It says that there's no unions. Okay, and let me tell you something else that's bad about Sarasota County. If you want health care, you don't get a price usually that reflects that two-thirds of the people aren't making a lot of money. You pay the big bucks down here, the big retail list sticker price for health care.
Sure.
Check it out and see what I'm saying for different tests and different things.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you, Armin, and what you have identified is happening literally all across the United States. And thanks for the call and for pointing that out. It's an important comment, and it's one that needs to be made over and over and over again, and that is that this administration is part of an entire conservative agenda, which began, you know, in a big way in the United States back in the 1870s, 1880s, with the Grant administration and then the McKinley administration, and, you know, leading up to Herbert Hoover. And then they lost power as a result of the Great Depression that they caused and the destruction of the American middle class that happened between 1860, 1870, more or less, and 1930. And then Roosevelt came into power, and we returned to the principles of Jefferson and Madison and Monroe and Jackson, and even frankly Abe Lincoln, who was, you know, the Republican Party at that point was a party of reform. He was the first Republican president. Return to the principle of if capital can organize, if companies can organize, then labor ought to be able to organize, number one. Number two, that if corporations reach a certain threshold size where they come to dominate a market, control a market, that is not healthy for democracy. It's not good for us. It's simply not healthy for democracy. And as a consequence of that, we said, you know, if you're going to play the game of business, you're going to have to play by some rules. You know, you're going to have to allow unions. That the Wagner Act of 1935. You can't get so large that it becomes impossible for an entrepreneur to come into a marketplace and start out. The Sherman Antitrust Act of 1881, and so forth and so on. You know, this is a long list of these liberal reforms, wherein we said, you know, the purpose of an economy is to serve society, not the other way around. Very simple, very straightforward. The purpose of an economy is to serve the society. And you've got a bunch of conservatives who simply don't believe that. They think that the purpose of society is to serve the wealthiest among it. End of discussion. And that wealth is an indicator of God's blessing and purity and self-control and morality. And if you don't believe it, just look at Kenny Lay. I mean, this is Calvinism, the Calvinist worldview, you know, as expressed in the 1600s, very clearly. Wealth is a sign of God's blessing. I mean, they just came around and said it. That worldview is still alive today, and this is the destruction of the American middle class, because middle classes don't happen by accident. A middle class is not a normal consequence of an unregulated marketplace. If you have an absolutely, totally free marketplace, you will not have a middle class. You will have a small number of very, very powerful owners and a very large number of very terrified workers being pitted against each other continuously so as to keep them from rising up or whatever, you know. And it doesn't always work over the long term, as as they discovered in Russia. And you've got, and the alternative is not to go to either extreme, but to take this middle path that America has historically taken, or at least through about half of the history of the United States, we have historically taken, which is to say, you know, that there are limits on corporate growth, and that there are protections to labor. And if you do that, then a middle class, and that if you make an enormous amount of money, you are using a lot of the commons, you are using a lot of the resources of this nation to do it, you are disproportionately or largely enjoying the blessings of this society, you pay back to the society in large part. A progressive tax system. And when those three things are in place, you see a strong middle class. And as those three things get eroded, you see the middle class vanish. And that's what we are seeing today. Armin, you did a great job of you know, setting that up, articulating it. Just one another little bit of news, as it were, kind of the best of the rest of the news here. There's a Truth Squad. This, the Star Tribune notes today in an editorial. A Truth Squad emerging in Washington, D.C., and this is people in the State Department who are anonymously leaking aggressively now to news sources whenever the president and vice president lie about things. And these people have no particular axe to grind. They're not political, but they are so tired of the fact that they produce these national intelligence estimates, like the one in July on Iraq, which said that, you know, we've got real problems there, and that the best prospect that the United States is facing right now is a country convulsed with violence. And the worst is civil war. And then the administration not only does not talk about it, but they pretend that it doesn't even exist. And then when it finally came out in the news, Bush said, well, those people are just guessing. And so they're starting to fight back. Be interesting to see if that comes into the debate. 10 minutes before the hour.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartmann's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the project for the new American century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartmann, available in bookstores everywhere.
Now, it's time for This Billionaire Moment.
Protesters are demanding we bring our troops home from Iraq immediately, but we can't do that. You see, the Iraqis are very hospitable, and the new leader we selected for them has asked our troops to stay. If we brought them home now, we would risk insulting our hosts. And then who would be there to keep an eye on things while we extract our oil from below their soil? And there have been complaints about American mercenaries torturing Iraqi prisoners, but who are you going to trust to soften them up so they can lead us to all those missing weapons of mass destruction? The government? Or a private security firm that can do the dirty work more efficiently for less money with less accountability? privatization. It works. I'm Xenophobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Here come the billionaires!
This is the Workers' Independent News Service feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. A minimum wage referendum placed on the ballot in Florida could change the outcome of the November 2nd presidential election. The measure asks voters to support a $1 increase in the minimum wage from $5.15 to $6.15 an hour this year and annual increases connected to inflation.
$5.15 an hour, which is not even $11,000 a year if you're working full time, is really just a miserly sum, and it's not enough money really to live off of at all.
Elise Gowdy Wright, director of South Florida Jobs with Justice, organized a coalition of civil rights groups, religious congregations, and labor unions to collect nearly 1 million signatures over a 10-month period.
Just the sheer volume of signatures that are required to even put this to the voters as a question. It was a huge, huge hurdle. And we also have some political hurdles here. We thought we were going to be up against another amendment and some other lawmaking that was going on in our state capitol to try and prevent citizens from putting ballot initiatives that deal with the state constitution to voters.
George W. Bush opposes raising the minimum wage from its 1997 level, while John Kerry supports an increase.
I think for a lot of folks that are behind this effort, the hope is that because this is such a popular issue and there's so many people who are supportive of it, that it will help with voter turnout.
Gowdy Wright believes increasing the minimum wage will have a positive ripple effect for many Florida workers.
Those folks who make minimum wage will be directly impacted, but those folks who might make slightly higher than minimum wage, many of those employers will feel inclined to raise their wages as well.
The restaurant industry and the Florida Chamber of Commerce are opposing the ballot initiative. With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. It's we have been hearing reports from all over the country. People calling into the program, and you read them out on you know blogs and websites and things, of carry signs being stolen. There have actually been a couple of organized local Republican efforts to steal carry signs, and but there's just this you know this scattershot thing. And of course, I mean this is as old as politics. I remember when I was a teenager. People would steal the lawn signs of politicians that they didn't agree with. But it has this year. It seems almost like it's like this organized campaign, and it's happening more on the Get Kerry side than on the Get Bush side. Although maybe it's both. Who knows? But in any case, in New Hampshire, a woman has fought back. Salami Perry is her name, and she has figured out. This is what happens when you mess with people who live in the country. I got to tell you, this is because people who live in the country, they know about poison ivy. Here's the story. This from the Forester's Daily Democrat, which is or Foster's Daily Democrat, a New Hampshire newspaper. Angry after the rash of thefts of her John Kerry campaign signs, a local woman has turned to the plant world for a way to deter people from taking her signs, poison ivy. For weeks now, Salami Perry has draped and wiped the Kerry signs surrounding her home with the irritant plant. Her next step is to create a more concentrated tincture to literally paint her signs with poison ivy oil. For three straight Friday nights, Perry's Kerry signs have been swiped. She says, a spokesperson for the Kerry campaign in Manchester, New Hampshire, suspects it's an organized GOP plan. He says, and I quote, "The Republican Party is notorious for stealing signs, jamming phones, and taking illegal campaign contributions." You'll recall it was in New Hampshire in 2000 that the Republican Party, the state Republican Party, as I recall, of New Hampshire, was indicted. My recollection is they actually were convicted of illegally jamming phone lines into Kerry phone banks, so that Kerry phone banks, or not Kerry, it was either Gore or it was John McCain. I don't recall if it was the primary or the general election, but the Bush campaign was doing this. And so here this Kerry spokesperson, Kathleen Strand, says, the Republican Party is notorious for these kind of dirty tricks. They're going to have a little itchy hands, apparently, in the old Republican camps. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks to Jay for our music. Thanks to Rama for engineering our program today. Thanks to Louise for producing it. Thanks to Brad for our music, to Shelby for streaming us around the world, to Ben and Mike for getting our archives up, to the folks in our chat room for showing up, and to you. See you tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Visit iowapeace.com for books on justice and peace. The Last Liberal Outlaw is Mike Palasek's new novel. Chuck Gregory with BlueEar.com had this to say. Palasek is at his best when writing about small-town America. It's a place he clearly loves, even as he pokes fun at its quirks and reveals the sickness that lies just below the surface. It's a place he knows, and he shares his knowledge in delightfully original ways, even as he cries out for change. We haven't had a writer like Palasek since Kurt Vonnegut was at his peak. Mike is an Iowa author, former federal prisoner for peace, small-town newspaper reporter, seminarian, and nominee.